All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We have had a great time having school board candidates in from Wayne and Warren and Washington and Lawrence. Since we're focusing on the six school districts that have the largest African-American enrollment. But y'all, I know y'all been waiting. The folks been on Twitter been waiting. When is IPS coming? When is it coming? Well, they're starting to be here. Tomorrow, we'll have the candidates from District 2 in our first hour. In our second hour, the at-large candidates and the candidates from District 4. But we begin, first of all, with IPS. Using last year's enrollment because the state is slow. IPS had roughly 32,000 students. Of that, 53.5% were African American, 18.5% were Hispanic, 22.6% were white, 4.8% were multiracial, 76.8% were on free and reduced lunch. IPS District 1, this is an interesting area. It includes some of the downtown, most of the Near East Side, including Woodruff Place, all of beautiful Irvington, some of the Near Southeast Side, over where the gas plant, the Citizens Gas plant, used to be before they tore it down. It includes the northern part of Barrington. If you live south of Bethel, you're not in District 1. Don't ask. Somebody redrew this. It includes some of the public housing projects that still exist along Raymond Street, but it includes Irvington. It includes some of the areas of Eastern Warren Township. Inside the city goes all the way up almost to Eastern Star Church Original. It's an interesting district. It is District 1. The candidates are Caitlin Hannon, Jim Nixon, and Larry Whiteman. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Let me kind of go around the room. We'll start with Larry Whiteman, our standard opening question. Why are you running?
I'm running because I think some things need to be changed. Mm-hmm. But I also have four adult children that have graduated from IPS. I got 15 grandkids. Education's important. I've had 15 exchange students that went to different schools for IPS. And so I think I have a perspective of what the students want. I also was a 22-year employee for IPS at Manual High School. So I've pretty much well seen most of anything that can happen.
All right. Caitlin Hannon, why are you running?
I'm a former IPS teacher. I taught at Arsenal Technical High School and at Emma Donnan last year in the takeover, before the full takeover happened during the takeover process. As a classroom teacher, I felt like kids' needs were not being met and that I was sort of being, my hands were tied in terms of a lot of the things that I could do by mandates from the district level. So I decided that this was a step that I could take that would help support the students that I'd had in the classroom, the teachers that I'd worked with, and the families of members of the community.
And Jim Nixon, why are you running?
Well, actually, I've seen a lot of changes through IPS over the years. I was an IPS student, graduated from Arlington. My wife is a school teacher with one of our local schools, School 82. But with those changes, I've also seen some obstructions to producing the kind of results that we really want in our schools. I'll tell you what I'm not. I'm not an educator, and I'm not an employee of IPS. Caitlin has served well with IPS for 2 years, and Larry is retired with IPS as well, and he worked for a number of years. But I guess the best thing I can say is I'm a 25-year volunteer in IPS schools, but I'm also I've operated a lot of businesses. So many of the children that came out of IPS schools, the graduates, I utilized as employees. Right. And many of them had some of the skills that we needed in those businesses, but a lot of them really needed more than what was taught in the schools. So I'm actually looking at greater outcomes. IPS is responsible for graduating children. I would also like to see them better prepared for employment.
239-1310. 239-1310 is After News Amos. Or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. This is an open seat. Mariana Zafru, who has represented District 1 for a number of years, is not running again. So whoever the people of District 1 elect is going to be someone new on the board. Given that, what would be your priorities if elected to the school board? What would you be doing differently if you're elected that the current board members aren't doing? Jim Nixon.
Oh, my goodness. Well, one of the greatest focus I have really has to do with the individual schools. Mm-hmm. Being a volunteer in one particular school, I've seen how important leadership is. One of the things I really want to see with our principals is they're leaders first, not just credentialed. I went through busing in 1972. I remember the moving the kids out to the township schools. We destroyed our neighborhood schools. I'd like to see that embraced again. It's difficult because we have less schools to do that with. But so much of what we don't do is market the good programs that we have within IPS. That can be done at the individual school levels. Maybe take 10 of the best things that are happening in a particular school, taking interested parents and staff members, and just going with, like any election, but just going door to door and say, please choose us over a charter or over a parochial school.
Larry Whiteman.
Yes.
What would you do differently than hasn't been done before by the board?
I don't know if I can say that it hasn't been done by the board, but I think it's more important that we are concerned with the education of our students first and foremost. Working with the superintendent that's here now, trying to help him to be able to fulfill part of what his responsibilities are. I think also we need to work with parents, getting parents involved. That's been a question that we've asked for, I don't know, I know for 22 years because that was what question was being asked 22 years ago about what can we do to bring parents in.
Let me ask Caitlin Hannon, what would you do differently?
Sure. So my first sort of platform piece is that we need to find out where our money's going. There's a lot of information out there about where, you know, we know that IPS is getting a lot of money and we know a lot of money's being spent. But as a classroom teacher who would run out of paper last year and be told that there was no money in the budget for my copies, I'm very curious to know exactly where our money is being spent. So I support an independent audit happening of the district to find out where our money is really going and driving it to the classroom. In addition to that, I support excellent school leaders having the autonomy in their schools to do what they need to do that's best for kids. I taught at Tech and I taught at Donnan, and we all know those are very different populations of students who have different needs, who are receptive to different styles of teaching and leadership. And so I think that a principal, an effective principal, should be able to set a vision for their school that meets the needs of the teachers, the students, and the families of that community.
Do you feel that there needs to be a greater, this is for all three of you to just chime in, a greater emphasis on training and skill development of the school leader? I mean, there's all this focus on teachers need to upgrade to this, teachers need to upgrade to that, teachers, teachers, teachers. But if you have a principal the pen that's in my studio has better sense than some of these principals, you're going to have a lousy school. How important is it in your mind to upgrade the leadership skills and training of school leaders in IPS at the principal level?
Absolutely. It's not just the principal level. It goes all the way up through the administration as well. It's a culture I think we have gotten away from. But how is a school going to succeed unless you have a true leader that is going to embrace not only the development of the teaching staff, creating the environment necessary for appropriate teaching, but also welcoming in family members? Of course, they have to be background checked, but welcoming volunteers into the school. I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard there are a lot of teachers who want classroom assistance, for heaven's sakes. Right. If we can't afford it, why don't we utilize our volunteers?
Caitlin or Larry, you want to weigh in?
We have to develop a pipeline for leadership in the district, and we don't do a very good job of it now, and we also don't do a good job of evaluating and holding accountable the school leaders that we're talking about. So we move an ineffective leader from building to building with no sense of accountability, and we get rid of teachers who are great because of their years of experience or because, you know, they just don't get along, they don't jive with a good leader. So we have to create pipelines, some of which would be great to create leadership opportunities for teachers and give them a voice in how to run a school. There's nothing that says that a school has to be run by a single person as a principal. There are innovative models happening all over the country that could be replicable if we have the right people in place.
Larry?
Well, I agree with that. And the problem is that a lot of the administrators that we have now can't work with other people that would allow the growth of the teachers and the school to be comprehensive. I think that when a teacher is not complimented, a student's not complimented, when you go to your first meeting of the year and Dr. White gets up and he says, "Welcome," and then says, "Well, we got $22 million we got to cut off the budget this year." Now, that's really conducive for making everybody happy. You know, I think that we have to provide.
Do you really say that?
Huh?
Do you really say that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me ask this. If, when the state finally gets around to releasing the official enrollment figures, when I finally get them from the state, and it is confirmed that the Fort Wayne School Corporation has more students than IPS, and if my information is correct, there are fewer school buildings and fewer staff in the Fort Wayne School Corporation and IPS, if you're elected to the board, is it time to take a hard look as to why IPS would have more staff and more buildings than Fort Wayne?
I think even if those numbers don't come back to indicate that Fort Wayne is more students with less staff, we have to look at those numbers. The amount of money that goes into the central office based on some preliminary data, you know, that was put out by Public Impact, whether that's the exact data or not, indicates that over half of our budget goes toward administration. And even if that includes, you know, our services and our security officers and our social workers, we have to look at where money's going, how you attract talent to the district, and how you provide services for students and families that make them the number one choice for families.
Let me ask this other question. Are you all concerned as candidates that IPS keeps wanting to open more schools, and there are a lot of IPS school buildings that are nowhere near capacity? And why do we keep opening new IPS schools while we have under capacity?
I think part of the answer to that is so if the state takes over something else, we can make another program and stick some of those students into it instead of taking care of what we got.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for a way out and to be able to keep our enrollment up. Right. I think also when we were just before we were talking about money down. Mm-hmm. Being spent downtown, mm-hmm. I was told by some teachers that were here 30, 40 years ago that when there was 90,000 students, there was one person for each subject and a secretary that was downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a secretary for a secretary for another secretary. We got a director that has three assistant directors. And so, consequently, we're perpetuating the problem. We're not solving it. We're not going in and say, so and so, we're doing away with your job.
Right.
And when you have that much duplication, mm-hmm. there's part of the waste.
Okay.
For every director or assistant or all that, you could probably keep two teachers for every one of them. So we're talking about. The teachers are hitting the road first instead of some of the other people that the money can be directed to make the classroom smaller, to make it more convenient. and more comfortable for the teacher.
239-1310, 239-1310, Saf News and Neighbors with Caitlin Hannon, Larry Whiteman, Jim Nixon, candidates for IPS District 1, which is mostly the east side of Indianapolis, basically south of 10th, 16th, and 21st Streets. Let me bring up a couple of issues and go around and get your feedback. Right now, at 2:15 on October the 15th, IPS could create a charter school right now. I don't even think they need it. They might technically need a board vote, but they can create a charter school run by the Indianapolis Public Schools. If you're elected to the board, would you support IPS creating, if it's going to create schools, create charter schools? Caitlin Hannon.
Yeah, I absolutely support the idea of at least investigating it. I think that what you asked before about creating new schools just for the sake of sticking a new name on a building is partly a reactionary to the fact that parents are not choosing the district, which is indicated by the numbers. Mm-hmm. So if creating charters means that parents have better options for their students, then absolutely, why wouldn't we create charters?
Larry Whiteman.
I think that, I guess maybe it's semantics, I think of more magnets programs as charters to fill in the needs that are greatly there. I think that we probably have enough buildings that we could probably have a very large vocational programs because not everybody's going to go to college.
Have we lost the vocational edge in IPS?
Oh, yes. It used to be that every high school had at least four or five programs in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're lucky if we got four or five in the district.
Mm. Jim Nixon.
Let me go off on the vocational. Actually, Tech has the career technology, which is vocational.
Mm-hmm.
They have some wonderful programs. I had an opportunity to tour that a couple weeks ago. But it's amazing what they have. I mean, you know, we look at diesel mechanics, auto repair, beauticians, drafting, welding. In fact, the welding teacher is very passionate. His whole idea is to get every child certified and into a position where they're making $30 an hour. That's a living wage.
But isn't that considered a magnet, which means you'd have to apply for it instead of anybody in IPS that wants to be a welder just going over to Tech?
You would have to. There is a process. But the thing is it being advertised?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the math and science, yes. The other magnets, yes. But there was a survey released in August talking about the top 10 positions that needed to be filled in the U.S.
Right.
Five of them require college education. The other five are HVAC, the plumbing, the other things that, as Larry said, with the vocational. Those things are all possible. Not every child is on track for college. Looking at IPS, they're really pushing that with the teachers. So every room is an advertisement for Butler University, IU, I'll remember
right.
Purdue as well. But, you know, that's great. And that should be a goal. But there are so many other opportunities out there.
Let me start with the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a concern. I heard them say a lot about teachers' needs and a nasty comment about Dr. White. And they need to be more concerned about the children's needs. Children are being poorly educated, and that's where their focus needs to be. And I'm sorry that they are concerned about vocational schools and not wanting to be concerned about college as much. I don't necessarily believe that. I think that they need to be equally concerned about both of those things. And vocational schools are nice, but I don't want children to be pigeonholed into that when children of African descent used to be pigeonholed into things like that and not going on to higher education, I mean going on to college. And so we need to be careful with that. I don't have children in that school, so I don't really, you know, want to make too much of a fuss, but I'm just concerned that their focus needs to be on what they need to do for the children, not just for the teachers and Dr. White with everybody fighting each other. They've lost their focus. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. How would you answer the caller's question about, you know, focusing on students' needs?
As someone who was in the classroom last year, that's one of my biggest issues with talking broadly about vocational ed and IPS. Absolutely, we need vocational ed programs, and they need to be better than what they are now. But what I saw in the classroom were students who never had a fair shot. You know, they hadn't been in a pre-K program. We don't require kindergarten in the state of Indiana. So they came to school at 7 from a home maybe of a single working parent. Maybe the parent had not gone to college themselves. And they came to the classroom behind. And we, as educators and as the adults of the city, have to do something to give those kids a fair shot. Not every kid is going to go to college in Carmel either. But we're not talking about a vast majority of those students not going on to higher ed. So until every kid in IPS has a fair shot at going to college, just like a kid in Carmel or a kid in, you know, in Zionsville, then to me, we absolutely have to keep that focus. So I appreciate what she said.
And Jim Nixon, Larry Whiteman, how would you answer the caller's concern about what you're articulating, Jim Nixon, about students' needs, kids' needs?
Well, who best knows about students' needs or their child's needs? And that would be a parent. Talking about the vocational schools or the options available, I think it's our responsibility if we're elected board members. We want to create as many options available, but we need parents deciding what is going to be the most appropriate. They should be a part of deciding what programs we have, too. But primarily, I want parents in the schools being a part of that question. Looking at IPS compared to other schools, IPS has been an automatic option for a lot of folks. Kids go to the bus stop in the morning, and parents leave them in many cases. They may be there when the kids get off the bus. But I want parents to actually decide not only their schools, but the educational options within those schools and what is most appropriate. And I still believe IPS has the better options out there.
239-1310 is after the news. Name is. We'll take a break. Come back with more of your calls, questions, emails. I got a good one at praiseindy.com. Also, text messages at 85620, keyword Amos, with Caitlin Hannon, Larry Whiteman, Jim Nixon. They're the candidates in IPS District 1. That's an open seat. So whoever gets elected on November the 6th would be a new member of the IPS school board. It's after news with Amos after these. Tonight, all the local channels, the big Senate debate, 7 o'clock. Joe Donnelly in one corner. Richard, you never see him, Murdoch, in the other corner. Oh, my goodness, channel 6, 8, 13, 20, and 50. No, not Fox 3, even channel 59. Live coverage of the Senate debate, Indiana 7 debate, Senate debate tonight, 7 o'clock, 7 to 8. So no Wheel of Fortune, no 2.5, well, y'all, no 2.5 men, no entertainment tonight. But I think the Senate debate will have more entertainment than ET. 239-1310. Oh, the presidential debate is tomorrow night, 9 o'clock everywhere. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is back to the phones. And Jennifer, hi there.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the vocational programs. The vocational programs are very well needed because we have children that are not graduating high school in IPS. Sad, but so true. And with the children not graduating, having those vocational skills help prepare them for life. Not only do those vocational skills help prepare them for life, some children are using the vocational skills that they're obtaining from the IPS system, and they're using it to further their education because their parents sadly can't afford college for them.
All right,
they need those vocational programs in the schools as a backup system to some of the children so they won't be out here breaking in houses and committing crimes. They have another outlet besides turning to the street.
All right, good point. Y'all want to comment on Jennifer's comment?
I'll go ahead. I like what she had to say about the vocational programs. The program out at – career technology out at Tech – one of the nice things is you can actually get a certification and take that out into the community. You know, there are a lot of us who are a little older who may have had 3 or 4 different careers. It might be nice to be a welder in the first one and then something else. But to pay your way through college, that's not a bad idea either.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names. Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes, sir.
You're on the air. What's up?
I have a question for your candidates. One, a lot of what I've heard from these individuals I've read or heard from this group is about their disdain for Dr. White. Now, I've just tuned in, so I'm not sure all what they said today. But what are they going to do to help the truth get out about the students in the public schools in terms of their achievement and their learning?
All right. Let me first ask each of them. The caller says that in your in other statements or other places you've been, you've had disdain for Dr. White. Is that correct? And how would you get out the truth about IPS, Larry Whiteman?
Well, I haven't been disdained with Dr. White. I think that he has been given free reins to do what he wants to do by this previous board. I think that I wouldn't advocate for him to hit the road the day I came in. I think he needs to be, everybody needs to sit down and talk about where we're going, what we're going to do, and give him an opportunity to work with a new board. If he refuses to do that, then he's made his own decision. If we work and it works out well, then that's even greater. IPS doesn't need any more instability as a corporation. It needs to have some stability, and that should be carried on with Dr. White.
Caitlin Hannon?
I've said over and over again that I just think, similarly to what Larry just said, that the board needs to set the vision for the district, and it currently that is not the case. If I take office in January and whoever the board is comes to a consensus about what the vision is for the district and Dr. White is willing to get on board with it, I have no problem with him as a person. To the second piece of that and being honest with what's going on in IPS, I think the first thing that I think of are things like high school graduation waivers, where we're giving diplomas to students who are not on grade level, have no real potential to have a career, to be a productive member of society, as some of your earlier callers mentioned. And so that's a piece that we have to make sure that instead of covering it up with PR and saying our graduation rates have gone up, we need to be honest with where our students are.
Jim Nixon.
I'll just repeat my quote from the Star. I do welcome his retirement. He was looking at retirement before he came on board with IPS the second time. But I do understand that if elected, we decide who our superintendent's going to be. And if we decide that we want him to continue to manage, we will. But it's very important that, and Larry said this too, we don't need a lot of instability in IPS. There are a lot of things that we need to be looking at. And if he's willing to stick around a little bit longer, I'm fine with that.
The caller also talked about speaking the truth, which I imply is the good things about IPS. This current board has been extraordinarily reluctant to really speak to the community through media to talk about what's going on in IPS. It was under the guise of the board should speak with one voice. Do you all agree with that the board should speak with one voice through the president and everybody else ought to just keep their mouth shut? And does that kind of attitude eliminate seven people talking about the good things in IPS to the broader community rather than one person who never said much?
I personally, for me, I think I would be a bit of a maverick. I don't like the idea of being asked to be quiet. But I think it would be our responsibility as board members to help get a message out and facilitate the superintendent we've decided to either keep on board or hire. And we should be an equal voice. I think we should agree on our message, but I don't think we need to have as much control as we currently have.
And Larry?
I think that probably some people should say something that they have really strong convictions about. I think that other people should probably set back. But I think also we need to show unity, and we need to make sure that even though we disagree, we're on the same page. And if that means letting Dr. White talk, and do those things, or the president of the board, or if they decide that they want one person to on the board to do be the PR man, that's fine. But I don't think we want to hear seven different opinions going on seven different ways, because we're not accomplishing anything.
Caitlin?
I feel like it would be my responsibility as someone elected by a district to speak speak out on why I supported or went against a certain issue, particularly when you see some of the splits, the 4-3 splits that we're seeing right now. If I were in the 3, I absolutely would want to speak out. And I don't think that the board, any person should be manhandling the board in terms of who gets to make those conversations. Absolutely, we have to come across as united. We have to have a good working relationship. But making a piece of that dialogue public is incredibly important. And so rather than having a 4-3 vote and then only allowing one person from the four side speak about why the decision was made, I think that we need to have a public dialogue so that community members feel engaged and are able to express their own opinions over the debate that's going on within the board.
Back to the phones in Jackster. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Amos, and yes, well, I wanted to touch a base, and I'm very serious about this. I wish some kind of way that board could make sure these schools that have this training for different type jobs, because everybody can't go to college, like you said. Make sure these people that's trained and is qualified, and make sure they see the students that's really trying to learn a skill and not just trying to pick up a check. We need to have some people that can went through this training and testify that they got a job and they can do their job. Let's don't just let them come in there to get a check and not be trained. Make sure they qualify to train.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's name is. Let me ask the three of you, because you're not incumbent board members, you are not privy, or maybe you are, to what these letter grades are for schools that the schools that have been communicated to schools. The incumbent board members know, and there's some little something they signed or something that says they can't release it until the state publicly tells the media, even though everybody in the school system knows what went down. But the indications we're getting, and we heard it earlier from the folks at Wayne Township, in that the letter grades for schools in Marion County, and board members who have been on this program have been very specific of using the words Marion County, are going to open a lot of eyebrows, which implies that the number of schools in Marion County that are D's and F's will probably be larger than people are expecting. Given that IPS will have some schools that are A's, including at least one I know of that is going to be a great victory, as it's an A, certain school in Butler Tarkington that nobody expected to be an A, and they should be congratulated. We ought to have a big parade. But there will also be some D's and F's that will probably be the same group. How does that influence if you're elected to the board? You know, because obviously the media is all going to focus on IPS had all these schools that are D's and F's, and they'll ignore that one school that made progress with an A that I know, but I don't want to get them in trouble, so I'm going to keep that confidence till the 30th of October. I'm trying to be nice here.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, even though I really want to shout it to the mountaintops. But how do we deal with this? Because the earlier panel from Wayne was talking about you tell a school they're an F school, what impact does that have on the kids? Or the kid that maybe didn't get good grades or didn't pass I-STEP, and that kid perceives that they are the one that caused his or her school to fall down.
I think that I don't know how the A, B, C.
I don't think Tony Bennett knows, but
well,
that's.
I won't say that.
Yeah.
I think that without knowing that how the breakdown is technically,
right.
I think that when you have a student that comes from a middle school and goes into high school, he's reading at the third grade level, and then by the time at the freshman, he's now reading at the sixth grade level.
Mm-hmm.
He's still failing.
Mm.
But it doesn't come across that those teachers have worked their butts off
mm-hmm.
trying to get those students up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to me, it's not always a fair evaluation. Mm-hmm. You know, statistics don't lie, but liars make statistics.
Let me follow up. Did IPS make a mistake combining middle schools and high schools in the same building?
I think so in some cases, but that's going back to the old K through 12. That's a neighborhood type school.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's one of those things that changes from time to time.
Right.
You know, it's like so many times we're trying to reinvent the wheel and it's already been invented. We might put Michelin's on it or,
yeah.
But it's one of those things that we have to pursue a standard,
right,
and not change it every
so
two,
often.
3 years because it's confusing to the students. The parents don't know which school the kid's going to go to.
Right, the whole ball of wax.
The whole ball of wax.
Caitlin?
On the community school issue, the 712?
Yeah, 712.
So I think
I got listeners who, you know, when they announced that from the get-go, thought that was the dumbest idea since the $3 bill.
And I think it goes back again to the autonomous school and what's best for a community. My sister teaches at George Washington, and George Washington has had some great success moving to a 712 school.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most people, and I'm sure that your listeners would have an opinion on this, but would say that maybe Marshall, that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of deciding we're going to make high school, we're now going to combine all these schools and make them 712s, that maybe it needs to have a more neighborhood perspective when we make decisions like that.
And Jim?
Well, I don't want to repeat what Caitlin just said. I agree with that. I know we initially had talked about the grade, the letter grades.
Yeah, the letter grades, right.
I had worked with work within a school that was the number one elementary school over 6 years. It was either exemplary or outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that posted on our sign out there. Very proud of that. But that has dropped now 4-letter grades. The teachers are primarily the same.
4-letter grades.
4-letter
school
grades.
The same.
And you're talking about an individual making a difference. Apparently, if a child had been here instead of over here and another child in a category, in this category, they would have been a letter grade up. So, you know, the older way of doing that, I understood. This is still a mystery to me. It's like reading a foreign language. Better yet, Chinese. There are too many characters involved.
Caitlin, you want to add something on A3F?
Yeah, I think that I understand the idea behind it. Like, let's simplify it and just stick a letter on it. However, you know, I think that it comes with the assumption that a parent is going to make a well-rounded choice and do a bunch of research outside of just seeing a letter grade. And unfortunately, we don't have, you know, oftentimes in IPS, we have single-parent households, double jobs, don't necessarily have the time to do tons and tons of research on where they're going to send their kids. So you get their school gets labeled an F because they didn't grow a certain amount, but they already master a certain amount of content. It makes it difficult to suss out what the specifics are of that letter grade.
Let me go to Ron at 239-1310. Hi there. Ron?
Oh, hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, my name is Lawrence.
Oh, I'm sorry. Boy, that is nowhere close to that. Go ahead, Lawrence.
I have a question. I have two questions. The first question is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, IPS since 1992, when I was tracking it, has been, well, there's 293 school corporations in the state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, IPS, I believe, is 291. The only school corporation lower than that is Gary and East Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been that way for almost 20 years. You went through a multitude of school boards and members, and you went through many Dr. White's predecessors, but nothing has changed. There's still 291 out of 293 school districts. So how do they propose to change that? And my second question is this, Amos, you brought up the fact that if a child graduated from an F school, that person may feel that they contributed to their school being an F school. But what about the reverse? If you have a child that graduates from a D and F school and they graduate within the top 20% of their class, how do they feel against someone
who attends an A or B school, and they graduate within the top 20% of their class. And they may have done the same schoolwork, the same curriculum, but won't they feel inferior to the person who graduated from an A or B school?
That's a great question. Who wants to tackle that?
I think I will. As far as the letter grades, I think that's most important as far as parents selecting what school is working. The individual efforts of any child within the school will really stand on their own merits. Even in an F school, yes, there are children that are succeeding and doing well. It's more of just a composite of a number of different factors. But if you're a parent, a family member, and you're looking at choosing an appropriate school for your children, for your students, that letter grade will help in that respect. But it doesn't tell the whole story. I think you've hit on that.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Has got a couple of emails at praiseindy.com. One asks, every year you seem to have all these school board candidates on your show. For what? The school systems get worse and worse every year. I want the candidates here to address that. And then secondly, a question. Why do you want to be on the board? It's addressed to all of you when you don't know the truth about how students are achieving. And then a corollary to that question addressed specifically to Caitlin Hannon cites that Caitlin is backed by the Mind Trust, which is about charter schools. So why not go to work in a charter school? Caitlin Hannon, I'll start with you. How would you address that listener?
Sure. I'm going to say a couple things first. One, which is back on the Lawrence's question, and then one of the questions you just asked about years and years of failing. I think that part of what the issue is that things under the superintendent and board and above the teacher and school level have not changed very much in that amount of time. So the central office, the makeup of the central office, the size of the central office has not changed a lot. So a lot of my changes propose that. On the Mind Trust, the Mind Trust doesn't back any candidates. It's a nonprofit organization. They don't make any political endorsements. I have no involvement with them other than the nonprofit that I work for originally got started by a fellow who had a fellowship with the Mind Trust. So I'm not backed by the Mind Trust. I do support schools, parents being able to choose the best schools for their kids. I talked before about I think that the district should be chartering great schools and great ideas so that kids have all the options that they need to be successful. I hope that addresses this person's concerns.
How would you, the other two of you, Larry and Jim, address that? You know, the emailer's perception. You know, schools have been failing. So, what do these board members? What power do they have to even turn that around? Larry,
it's something that they have to understand, and I can't speak to the other board members or from the past, but it's something that can't be changed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just come in and throw out a bunch of new programs, new do this, new that, new direction. They need to stay in one direction and give it time to work. When Gates came and said, here's some money, IPS went for the money.
Mm-hmm.
When Gilbert was here, select schools.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So then he goes out to Seattle to see how the select schools work. But while he's there, they're doing away with it because mm-hmm. it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
But we came back and we did it. We have to have some consistency. And for so long, IPS goes wherever the money's at.
Wherever the little dauble looks shiniest.
Yep.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with Caitlin Hannon, Larry Whiteman, Jim Nixon, candidates for IPS District 1 tomorrow. The remaining candidates running for the IPS School Board District 2 in our first hour. The at-large and District 4 in our second hour. It's afternoon's with Amos after these. Let me go quickly back to the phones and Anonymous. Anonymous, you got about a minute.
Hey, I just want to say I commend anyone trying to help out IPS. I encourage you guys, if you are elected, to go do the best you can. IPS gets a bad rep. I work, teach for Township School District, and some of these takeover situations are not fair. We don't find out. If something goes wrong at IPS, it is magnified. When something goes wrong with the township schools, it is hush-hushed. It is kept quiet. IPS is treated unfairly. It's just not fair. It's not fair across the board.
All right.
Student bring a weapon to school, IPS, it is magnified. It happens in township. They do their very best to keep it as quiet as possible. It's not fair.
Let me let you all agree with that.
I do.
Okay. Caitlin?
I agree that IPS gets more buzz for it. I don't know that necessarily means that they should get less. Maybe the townships should get more.
Jim?
Yes, we absolutely get bad press. Some of it is deserved. But on the other hand, I would say some of it is not.
As you all have gone around District 1, obviously, you know, people are energized at what's on the ballot, on the front part of the ballot. Are they energized about flipping their ballot over and voting for school board? Was the only things on the back of the ballot are school board, and should you keep some judges on the Supreme and appellate courts?
I think this is the first time, maybe before I was born, but as far as the first time that I know of, the board is elected in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what's going to take place.
I don't think anybody
does. I mean, somebody a few years ago, if they got 600 or 700 votes, mm-hmm. they were elected.
Right.
So now it's one of those things that it may take 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 votes to be able to be elected.
Are you getting a sense out there as you go on that people are engaged in this election?
I've had everything from, so I've knocked on over 1,000 doors, and I've had everything from people who tell me that they don't get to vote for the school board because they don't have any kids in the schools, mm-hmm. to people who have said, you know, oh, I've been following, and I know you, and I know your opponents, and I know who I'm going to vote for. So I think you have a whole range. But the most important thing is making sure that people know that they have to flip over their ballot, and if they vote straight ticket, they won't be voting for school board.
Yeah, that's right. That's important. If you know, and nothing wrong in voting a straight D or a straight R or a straight L, but you also got to flip the ballot over and vote for school board, not just IPS, but wherever you live in the state of Indiana, because all school boards are up this time, not just here in Marion County. Jim Nixon.
I consider this time, I'm calling it the perfect storm for education. You have the state and the feds who have been pushing down on IPS and education in general. You have some of the concerns, or a lot of concerns, with the takeover schools. You have organizations out there, Mind Trust had been mentioned earlier, that they're concerned about governance and some of the other things that are happening with IPS. But as Caitlin said, knocking on 1,000 doors, there are a lot of people in the community, just parents or even non-parents, who are concerned about what direction IPS is going to be going. My bid on, you know, being on the back of the ballot, I'll do this shamefully or shamelessly, turn to Nixon. I'm on the back of the ballot. If you remember Nixon, it's okay to vote for Nixon again.
All right. So if you led into our standard closing question, if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you, Caitlin Hannon?
They can check out my website. It's Hannon for IPS, written out, HannonForIPS.com, or they can call my cell phone at 500-4190.
Larry Whiteman, if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
That mine is also on Facebook. Right this moment, I probably can't give it to you because I'm not too apt at the computer.
I bet it's Larry Whiteman. Can't be that many Larry Whitemans on Facebook. There you go.
498-2438 is my phone number, and I'll gladly answer any questions.
And Jim Nixon.
I'm also on Facebook, Jim Nixon for IPS School Board District 1. Phone number 353-2585. And if you don't hear a male's voice, that's my wife. She's a school teacher with IPS.
All right. Jim Nixon, Larry Whiteman, Caitlin Hannon, IPS District 1. Thank you very much.